Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Moses, therefore, said to Joshua, "Pick out certain men, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. As long as Moses kept his hands raised, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Whence shall help come? My help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
May he not suffer your foot to slip. May he slumber not who guards you. Indeed, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade. He is beside you at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard your coming and your going, both now and forever.
Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent whenever it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hi, Kevin. Here we are again. And what I'm hearing in the readings today for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time is a message about persistence in prayer.
It is.
The kind of persistence that we show up here every week to get these recordings done.
Yeah. There is that. We will see a lot of persistence. And in fact, it's actually interesting. There'll be persistence. This actually is a bit of a family feud, as I'll get into a second. Real quickly, October 22nd is the feast day of Pope St. John Paul II. Of course, a very contemporary pope near and dear to the hearts of many of us. So please read a little bit again about his life and the things that he has done, the theology of the body. What an amazing, really servant to the servants of the Lord that he was.
So beloved then and now. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, we get into this persistence. So let me give you a little bit of genealogy about Amalek, right? Because who is this Amalek guy? Well, remember that we had Abraham, and then we had Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons, Esau and then Jacob. Well, Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau's grandson, actually, is Amalek. So there's this whole family feud thing going on.
Oh,
so
yeah. Things got ugly back then, yes.
They still do for some reason. But anyway, that's who Amalek is. So there's a family feud going on.
It's nothing new. It happened then. It happens now, right? Oh, yeah. So what we hear in this reading is that so long as Moses' arms were raised, the Israelites stayed ahead in the battle. But when Moses lowered his arms to rest, the enemy gained the upper hand. And Moses' companions, they saw what was happening. And they came to assist Moses by supporting his arms and by help keep them raised until sunset. And ultimately, Israel won the war. Our Pope, our bishops and our priests have been ordained to carry out Christ's mission, and their duties are to teach, sanctify, and govern. And they need help to carry out their duties in their ordained offices. All baptized Catholics, members of the mystical body of Christ, have a duty and an obligation to God to assist the church's ordained clergy in accomplishing the mission of the church. And there are a variety of ways that we can help. A good way to start is by looking for volunteer opportunities in your own parish and participate in the missions, the parish missions that go on and other parish functions, and never underestimate the importance of prayer. You know, it's that thing about don't ask what your parish can do for you, but ask what you can do for your parish.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, and you bring up that how you can help someone else. Really,
yeah.
That is really what that intercessor or that intercession is. Of course, we see not only Moses interceding on behalf of the soldiers, but then you've got Aaron and Hur interceding for Moses, who's the intercessor, right?
Good point.
It keeps going, right?
Yeah.
And so really, that's kind of what, when you think about interceding, that is intervening between parties with a view to try and reconcile these differences. And what a wonderful, body of Christ that we have, that we can act as intercessors for each other. Of course, we have here, Moses. Of course, we had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all being mediators. We, of course, have as Christians one unique intercessor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, we have that whole family around with us. I mean, many people say, hey, would you pray for me? Right? Would you act as an intercessor for me? Now, when we pray to the saints, sometimes there's a question about that, especially from some of our Protestant brothers and sisters. Remember that a saint or someone has died is more alive with Christ and still in the body of Christ. Just because someone dies doesn't mean they're no longer part of the body of Christ.
Right.
So we as that body will ask for intercession through either saints, people living or died. And that's a way to kind of help assist, hopefully, in the salvation of souls.
Exactly.
So that's so important that it's not, when we think about that, to be able to intercede. And of course, we have the great intercessor for us, Mary, the Mother of God, one who is full of grace. And we need to remember also that every time you go to Mary, Mary in every case will point us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you think about the wedding at Cana. Do what he tells you to do, right? Whenever you go to Mary, you go ahead and she will point you to Christ. How important that intercession is.
And who was it that said, Jesus will never say no to his mother?
That's right. That's true. That's true. And that's true even in our lives today,
Absolutely,
isn't it? That's right.
Right.
So please always remember that power of intercession.
Yeah.
In our second reading today, this is from the letter to Timothy, chapter 3, And one of the things that struck me today was all scripture is inspired by God. And I wanted to reflect on that. And there's some wonderful passages from Jimmy Akin from Catholic Answer. So I'm going to just paraphrase some of the things he was talking about. But, you know, it says here, it says, all scripture is normally taken by evangelicals to mean all of scripture. But in the first century, when Paul was writing, the term scripture was really, scriptures was a collection of several dozen scrolls. There was no way that it was conceived of as a unified literary work as we know it today, right? Know as the Bible today. So as a result, a study of the way the New Testament uses the term scripture reveals that whenever the term is used in the singular, scripture, it always refers to either a specific book of scripture or a specific passage within a book. It never refers to the whole of the corpus of the works that we know today under the unified title of scripture. So whenever the Bible wants to refer to the whole of the corpus, it always uses the term in the plural, the scriptures, but never scripture. So how important that is. Indeed, all scripture is inspired by God, but we need to remember how that word is used in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. And St. Paul also encourages us to proclaim the word, to be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. You know, Kevin, the persecution of Christians, that is being encouraged by voices of the enemies of Christ throughout the world. Those who speak out against atrocities like abortion and euthanasia are accused of undermining the rights of women. And those who challenge the wickedness of same-sex unions and physical gender mutations, they're labeled as haters. You know, not too long ago, when I was still working before I retired, at my workplace, I was within earshot of a conversation, and this was a person who had a beef with Catholics, and it was mocking Catholic beliefs. And a coworker who was nearby, she asked me, does it bother me when I hear people say things like that? And I said, no, not really, because Christians have been persecuted.
That's true, too. They have been, yeah.
Right. Persecuted for the past 2,000 years. So this was really nothing new. And I said that, you know, just in a regular talking voice, and people around me heard it. And the mocking person heard it also. And her voices got really quiet. There was whispering, and there really wasn't anything. There wasn't any further Catholic bashing. So I think a point was made. And you know, and I believe this, Lucifer's a coward. You know, he's a liar and a murderer. And he is powerless in the light of truth. So when we just stand for truth and what we believe and we don't fear away, you know, that there's some power there. Those who hate Christ, you know, they stand on a platform of lies, a platform promoting destruction and death and division. But Christianity stands on the platform of truth and life and unity.
Yeah, and part of that strength and being able to speak with strength is being able to pray as God wants us to pray. We read in the gospel here, pray always without becoming weary. That prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people, they're afraid that they don't feel like their prayer is working. And, you know, so prayer doesn't really matter. But I think we get the wrong idea of what prayer is. Like you said, it's the lifting of the mind and the heart to God. You know, prayer isn't a magic incantation to conjure up a genie sort of response from God. Prayer for the soul is like oxygen for the body. Without it, the soul begins to slowly die. Prayer is an essential part of developing a relationship with God. Through prayer, we learn to wait and watch for God's direction and to become better aware of His presence in our daily lives. Prayer isn't about getting God to do our will, but rather helping us to recognize and become diligent in following God's will. In other words, prayer is conforming our hearts and our minds to the will of God.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com.